Good afternoon, everybody. Let's call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. It's approximately 3:35 p.m. on Thursday, March 30th. We do have a quorum to do business. Present are Senator Egan, Senator Diesel, Senator Wilson, myself, Senator Dunleavy, and we expect Senator Coghill here any second. Purpose of our meeting today is to hear two items, SJR 2, Constitutional Amendment Appropriation Limit. There's going to be a committee substitute, and then SB 77, Second Class Borough Service Areas, prime sponsor, Senator Machicki. We're going to start first with SJR 2, Constitutional Amendment Appropriation Limit. Today we'll be taking up a new CS for SJR 2. There is a committee substitute for consideration. And since Senator Coghill is not here, Senator Giesel?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, Version 30LS0123/M, as in Monday, before the committee for consideration.
Thank you, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. We have my staff, Daniel George. And Daniel, if you can state your name for the record, he'll begin the explanations of the technical changes.
Good afternoon, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Daniel George, staff to Senator Dunleavy. Before members is Senate Joint Resolution 2, version M as in Matsu, and we have a few minor changes, and I'll walk through. There's an explanation of changes in front of members in their packets. Page 1, line 1, we clarify that there are more than one amendment to the Constitution now. There has been an applicability section added at the end of the bill. The next change is on page 1, line 7. Changes the appropriation limit from $4,250,000,000 to $4.3 billion. The next change is on page 1, lines 12 and 13. This language is added. It adds receipts of the Alaska Permanent Fund, which are appropriated to the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, to the list of appropriations exempt from the limit. There is a rumor going around the building that these funds may be appropriated in the future from the permanent fund. So we are clarifying that the funds that are used for the corporations management are exempt. And page 2, lines 6 and 7 clarifies the language of the bill to explain that the revenue limit excludes an appropriation that is duplicating the authorization to expend funds from another appropriation. The language that was here previously was a bit more confusing, so we've simplified that at members' requests with the help of Legislative Finance Division. And then the last change is page 2, lines 21 through 25. This adds the applicability section that the appropriations made for fiscal year 2020 and thereafter are subject to the limit.
With that, I'll remove my objection. Are there any objections to adopting a CS? Seeing none, the CS is adopted. So the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 2, version 1 is adopted. Before we move on to the next item, we're going to lay this off the side here in just a moment. But are there any questions at this point? We're moving this slowly because it is a big, complex item, and what we're trying to do is every time we look at it, we're finding a tweak here, a tweak there that we think is something that we're going to need to do in the end anyway. And so we're trying to get this taken care of here up front. One item, if you would please indulge me for a moment, but when you go back to page 7 and 8,
hey man,
you know what it is here.
That's a big bill.
Yeah. The issue really is going to be, I think, continually discussed is at where is the base that we're going to start? Because that's been part of the issue with the existing appropriation. We think we've gotten the formula, the components, in terms of percentage of inflation and population taken care of, at least from our perspective. We know there's going to be a lot of discussion on that, but we're just trying to get down to the what the basis we would start at. And we understand that throughout the discussions in the next committees that it goes to, that there may be discussion on changing that base, but we want to get it as close to where we think it reflects what we're trying to do here in the legislature this year. And before we put it off the side, there is some backup paperwork that just came out, and I mentioned this before. And by the way, let the record reflect that Senator Coghill is here. But there was, for whatever folks, however folks view polls, there was a recent poll done by Dittman with the Chamber of Commerce, and they had in their question on a spending cap. and there's just some interesting data, but I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. So with that, unless there's any questions at this point, we're going to put it off the side, and we'll take this up at a later date and begin the process of moving this bill to the next next committee referral. So with that, thank you, Mr. George.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just put on the record very briefly for members and for folks in the public who may be watching, there are documents that were added to the packet or posted on BASIS. One in particular is a high-level calculation worksheet, which shows how the base number in the bill was determined. There are also spreadsheets from Legislative Finance Division. We do have Mr. Carpenter from Legislative Finance here if there were questions from members. And so for full disclosure of how we arrived at the base amount in the bill, folks can see that in fairly simple terms.
Right. And we'll have this when we bring this bill up again, but it'll give members of the committee time to take a look at this between now and the next meeting when we bring this bill back up. Are there any questions from members of the committee before we move on to the next item? Thank you, Mr. George. With that, we'll take a brief at ease and move on to SB 77. We're back in session. We now move to the next item, which is SB 77, second-class borough service areas. Senator Machicki is the prime sponsor of this legislation. He's unable to make it today, but has sent his staff, Rachel Hankey, to come forward to present Senate Bill 77. Larry Persley, with the Kenai Peninsula Borough, is also present to answer any questions because there's another companion bill in the House that's similar. So with that, Ms. Hankey, can you state your name for the record and begin to present the bill?
For the record, my name is Rachel Hankey, staff to Senator Machicki. The senator sends his apologies today for not being able to make it and has asked me to introduce the bill on his behalf. Senate Bill 77 adds one paragraph to Title 29, which would allow second-class boroughs to establish non-taxable service areas within state highway corridors where no voters reside. This will result in more consistent and effective emergency services, which are often life-saving. Currently, these areas rely heavily on volunteer-based services. Passage of this bill will give second-class boroughs the freedom to provide these emergency services with no cost to the state. Here with me today is Larry Persley from the Kenai Peninsula Borough to explain the need from this bill from the borough's perspective and to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Hankey? Seeing none, Mr. Persley, can you state your name for the record, who you're with, and begin your testimony on the bill?
Larry Persley, Chief of Staff, Kenai Peninsula Borough, and as Senator Machicki's office has explained to you, it's sort of a unique problem on the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We have about 100 miles of highway, Sterling Highway, Seward Highway, heavily traveled, year-round average 4,000 vehicles a day, summer 8,000 to 9,000 vehicles a day. And the Kenai Borough does not have area-wide emergency services power. So we rely on volunteers, Moose Pass, Cooper Landing, Hope, Central Emergency Services in Sterling and Soldotna, to, as best they can, cover that heavily trafficked area. Last 2 years, there have been almost 200 personal injuries from vehicle accidents. What this would allow is for the Kenai Borough, it's a local option. It allows second-class boroughs by ordinance, by their assembly, to create an emergency services service area literally only along a state highway corridor. No taxable property, in that corridor service area. No property taxation, no private property owners. It would just be on the highway corridor, in this case, Sterling-Seward Highways. It's DOT right-of-way, and it's mostly federal land underneath. So this would give a local option if this bill or this House Bill 148, Senate Bill 77, were to pass. The Kenai Borough Assembly, in public meetings, public comment, would have the option of setting up this service area, deciding how to pay for it. The mayor's proposal is to use federal funds that the borough receives, PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, and so those federal funds come to the borough in lieu of property taxes on the federal lands which underlie the highway, which is where we would put this highway corridor. Certainly, if this bill were to pass, the mayor were to propose it, the borough assembly to approve it, and use federal money that is being used elsewhere in the budget, the borough is going to have to decide, the borough assembly and the administration, either to where they would cut to make those funds available. They're already being spent. Federal PILT dollars go into the general fund, but that would be the borough's responsibility. We have reached out. There are six second-class boroughs in the state, Kenai, Ketchikan Gateway Borough, Kodiak Island Borough, Aleutians East, Bristol Bay, Fairbanks, and the Matanuska-Susitna Borough. There are no objections from any of the six. The Matanuska-Susitna Borough, for example, has area-wide emergency services authority as it is, so it's a moot issue to them. In the Aleutians East, when I talked to them, their response was, I would be happy to have roads. Not an issue for them. So I guess I will stop with that, and certainly happy to take questions.
Are there any questions at this point for members of the committee? Senator Coghill?
First of all, my apologies for being interrupted in the meeting, Mr. Chairman. So in North Star Borough, service areas are probably more used in that area than many, many other areas. And we already have a volunteer fire service, and we already, and they do EMS services out of there, and they're property tax driven. So are we going to create a disparity in methodology? For example, are we going to then try to get along the Richardson Corridor, put emergency services up there, and then all of a sudden my service areas start depleting? So those are the kind of questions that first came to my mind when I saw this.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, I have spoken with the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and they had no objection. It's a different circumstance. In the Kenai Borough, you have those close to 100 miles, where there really is no private ownership, no taxable property, there's a few cases, some driveways and some isolated businesses, but there really isn't the option of doing it. Currently, under state statute, you can go to a vote of private property owners, but we don't have any to vote. There's another option if you can get the landowners to sign off. The problem is DOT is really not the landowner, it's the underlying federal agencies, and we felt trying to get all the federal agencies to sign permission slips for the borough to establish a service area on the highway corridor would be easier to get the state law changed than to get federal signatures. But to your question, I think the situations are different. I don't see the disparity. I don't see it becoming a problem, I should say. And neither did Burrow when I talked to Fairbanks.
And Renee and I had talked to my chief of staff about it had to be within municipal boundaries, and I think we established that it actually would have to be within the municipal boundaries. Is that correct from your understanding?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, the service area would? Yes. Well, within borough boundaries.
Yes.
Right. This is not an opportunity for the Kenai Borough to expand and take over parts of Anchorage, as much as it's intriguing. So, yes, this would have to stop at the hill where you come into the Kenai Borough off Turnigan, and then we would stop where you hit the boundary for what we call the Central Emergency Services District, which is Sterling, Soldotna. So it would be that zone in between Turnigan and when you start getting into the Central Emergency Services area.
this may help other people think about it, but I know for the road system they have there, their response time probably could be shortened significantly if they can get an EMS out there somewhere.
Well, and through the Church Center Coghill, it's not just the response time, it's a long call out. So if you if there's an accident and the volunteers from Cooper Landing, which have a volunteer squad pretty much for their community, but if they get called out on a highway accident, by the time they mobilize, get out there, if it's 30, 40 miles out, treat the injured at the scene, drive them into the hospital in Soldotna, get back to Cooper Landing, it can be 4 hours, 6 hour call out. This would, we're not looking at building new stations, buying more equipment, we're looking at trying to coordinate with what we have to manage call outs, make sure there's backup, make sure there's adequate staff, rather than asking the same volunteers for the fourth night in a row to go out on a 6 hour call.
And just quickly for the record, Senator Giesel?
Mr. Chairman, there's a handy-dandy map provided in our packet, and this used to be my district. The other factor with Cooper Landing, while they do have a volunteer organization, that those volunteers are aging, and there is significant concern about how many new volunteers will step up. And so the more this can be bolstered with this kind of support, the better for all the travelers. Anchorage travels this highway to the Kenai Peninsula heavily every summer. Tourists are there, and we need to provide public safety. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, because the Richardson was mentioned, this only pertains to boroughs, no unorganized areas, even if the organized areas have highways.
Correct. Chairman, yes, this is only organized second-class boroughs and only the six of them.
Thank you. Any additional questions at this time from members of the committee? Okay, seeing none, we're going to lay this aside. We'll pick it up next meeting. We'll open up public testimony, and I would assume we're going to move a number of these bills fairly rapidly at that meeting. With that, members of the committee, next meeting is April 6th at 3:30 p.m. We'll be hearing SB 8, PFD contributions to tribal governments, HB 78, Indigenous People Day, HB 148, second class borough service areas, and if there are any additions to the agenda, we will notify folks. We're going to go with those three right now. Anyway, with that, we're adjourned.